Jane flopped onto her bed after a long day. There were so many things racing through her mind. She had assignments due and no time to do them. Her boss was narky, never really encouraging her, but she needed the money to pay off her car, so she couldn't quit. But on top of all this, the big deal was that her best friend wasn't talking to her. And it hurt. She wasn't sure how they'd got there or what to do next. And Jane was a new Christian. And apparently Christians were supposed to pray. So she closed her eyes as she lay there on her bed and she prayed. God, I'm stuck. I don't know what to do. I'm feeling stressed out. Please help me work out what to do with Kaz, especially because she won't reply to any of my messages. Amen. When she opened her eyes, she still didn't know what to do about Kaz. She thought to herself, I wonder if anyone was listening. I wonder if God even has time for prayers like this. I wonder if I was good enough today to get an audience. I wonder if I said the right things to get the message through. Jane kept wondering until she drifted off to sleep. I wonder if you've ever felt like Jane. Are my prayers even heard? It's an important question for us to sort out, because if we're not sure we're being heard, we figure that, well, there's no point talking. When I'm talking to someone on the phone and I'm not getting any voice back, I stop talking because I figured that the phone's dropped out. And I don't want to end up speaking into thin air because I'll feel like an idiot. And if we speak, we feel like we're speaking our prayers into thin air. If we're not sure that we're being heard, then maybe we can feel like we're an idiot or the whole thing's a bit ridiculous. Well, we're in a series looking at prayer called Our Father. And we saw, as we began 2 weeks ago, we looked at who is it that we pray to. And we saw that God is this enormous, infinite being, and yet we get to call him Father. Last week, we looked at the idea of who am I to be even praying? And we saw that though we stand before a holy God, and there shouldn't be any way we could stand before a holy God, yet he has made the way for us to be called his children. And tonight we turn to this question, how do I know my prayers are heard? As we were preparing this series on prayer last year, we asked people what were their questions about prayer. And this was one of the top responses, this question, along with, what if my prayers aren't answered? Which is next week's topic. The simple answer to this question is, of how do we know our prayers are answered? Well, we know God hears our prayers because he tells us in his word that he listens to our prayers. 1 Peter 3 verse 12, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. And so we could leave it there. Shortest sermon ever at 7 o'clock. No cheering. That's not nice. But tonight, I want to show you from the scriptures three good reasons how we can know that our prayers are heard. And all these reasons are connected because they're about who God is and what he has already done for us to make praying even possible in the first place. So let's dive in and take these three reasons one at a time. The first reason we know our prayers are heard: our God is our Father who delights to hear from us. Jane asked herself, I wonder if God even has time for prayers like this. She wasn't wondering from a doctrinal point of view. She knew, God is an infinite being who created time. So of course he has time in that sense. Now her question was a personal one. After all, when she tried to talk to her own dad, he only seemed to be listening half the time. The other half, he was either watching sport on the TV or on his phone making bets about the sport he was watching on the TV. And so she wondered if God was the same as her own dad. You know, busy with keeping the universe running and keeping the sun shining and photosynthesis happening so all the humans could breathe. Why would he care about a relationship problem like that she had? Well, you know, or a doctor's appointment or anything else that's going on in her little life. I've felt the same at different stages of my life. I'm guessing many of you have felt the same too. Why would God even care about what's going on for me? And so even though we hear that, well, God is your father and you are a child of God, our own experiences may mean that those labels don't automatically guarantee that we think our prayers are heard. Whatever experience we've had in our life that's attached to those labels of father and children might mean, oh, that doesn't seal the deal for us. But here's some wonderful news. Our Heavenly Father not only has infinite time to be able to hear you, but he has an infinite attention span. And he takes infinite delight in hearing you speak. Jesus said to his disciples in Matthew 10 and verse 29, he said, "Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's care. Even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows." In other words, he's saying, look, sparrows are everywhere and they're common. And God even gives them attention. But you alone of all creation are made in God's image. And so the level of care that God has for you is as if every single hair on your head is numbered. That's how intimately he knows you. That's how intimately he cares about you. We're incredibly precious to God. Jesus tells us so. And then Jesus shows us how that works out with our prayers. We heard it in the reading Ben read to us from Luke 11. Jesus says in Luke 11 and verse 11, "Which of you fathers, when your son asks you for a fish, would give him a snake instead? Or if the son asks you for an egg, would give him a scorpion? Well, if you then, though you are evil, give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Now, Matthew's version of this saying from Jesus says, "If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more would your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him?" You see the logic of what Jesus is saying? Even dads on earth who are imperfect and insecure and have mixed motives, even they are capable of hearing their children's requests and giving good things to them. So if they can do it, how much more can the perfect father with perfect motives listen to his children and give them good things? And between both versions of this, between Luke's version and Matthew's version, everything we could want is covered. Luke's version, Jesus says, "How much more would God give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" And this is talking about people who already have the Spirit as his disciples. And so he's talking about giving God himself, the presence of God, intimacy with God. He will give himself to you if you ask. And Matthew's version, he will give you every other good thing. So you've got God and every other good thing. He'll give you everything that you could want if you ask him. God is ready to give because he's always ready to hear. because he loves us and he cares for us. I remember back to when my oldest child was little, and he had trouble with forming his words, and he took longer than other kids to start speaking. But when he started, I loved hearing every word that he said to me, because with every word, he could express his relationship with me. I almost did a dance with every sentence because I was so filled with joy that he was speaking to me. That's our God with you, with every word that you utter. How do we know our prayers are heard? Because God the Father cares for us and delights in every word that we say. That's reason number one. Reason number two, Jesus the Son is our mediator who makes every prayer acceptable. Jesus the Son is our mediator who makes every prayer acceptable. After Jane had prayed, she asked if she'd been good enough that day to get an audience with God. She wondered if her prayer had been good enough. After all, there were people at the church that she'd started going to that others called prayer warriors. She didn't really know what that meant, but she knew she wasn't one of those. And there were others who talked about how long they prayed and how early in the morning they got up to pray. And they talked about the kind of words they used every time they prayed. And their words she didn't really understand. All she had done was lie on her bed and talk to God. Now, was that good enough to be heard? And it's easy to wonder if we're good enough or our words are good enough to be heard by God. I mean, after all, don't our earthly fathers get cranky with us if we don't do the right thing? Mine did. Fortunately, I was the youngest of three by a long way. My older siblings told me how they got the belt around their backside when they did the wrong thing. It had gone out of vogue by the time I was impertinent. That's good. But when our earthly dads get angry when we don't do the right thing, we're not sure they're going to listen. They're too busy with the steam coming out of their ears for anything to go in. Well, here's where it's crucial that we understand the work of the second person of the Trinity, Jesus the Son. Jesus is God become flesh. And he became truly human so that he could live the perfect human life in perfect relationship with the Father. He always loved God with his heart and his soul and his mind. He always loved his neighbor as himself. But the reason he did this, the reason he lived this life, was to do it as our representative, as our stand-in. In other words, he lived the perfect human life in my place, in your place. And he did it not only to die for our sins so that he would die instead of us, but he did it to stand between us and God as our mediator, the one who restores the relationship between us and God. Hebrews puts it like this in Hebrews 4 and verse 14. Therefore, since we have a great high priest, that's a mediator, one who stands between us and God, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who's been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we might receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Jesus lived as one of us but never sinned. He ascended into heaven after his resurrection. So he now stands in heaven as our perfect representative and mediator between us and God. He's standing right there in the throne room of God, the God-man in front of the Father right now. And this has massive implications for our prayer life. What it means is that your words are always good enough for God, because they're mediated by Jesus to the Father. This means that there's no work we have to do to get our words through to be heard. We don't have to perform in order for God to listen to us, because Jesus has done all the work for us in our place. This means there's no location that's better or worse for us to pray, as though we need to work on the reception, get better signal. We always have perfect reception through Jesus, because he's standing right there before the throne. And so it doesn't matter if you're on your bed or in a chair or walking in a park or on a train, God will hear you and delight in you speaking to him. It doesn't matter if you've had a great day where all you've done is sing hymns and read the Bible, or you've had a terrible day where if someone were to convict you of being a Christian, there'd be no evidence to convict you. It doesn't matter, because Jesus has lived the perfect life in your place, and so your prayers will be heard. It doesn't matter if your prayers are short or long or formal or informal, or use big words or not big words. It doesn't matter. Jesus mediates your prayers perfectly to the throne of the Father, and so they're heard. Your prayers are always good enough because Jesus was good enough in your place. So how do we know our prayers are heard? God the Father delights in our words. Jesus is our mediator who makes every word acceptable. And thirdly and finally, the Holy Spirit is our translator who presents every prayer perfect to the Father. As Jane lay on her bed, she wondered whether she'd used the right words or even prayed about the right thing. I mean, was it right to pray about her relationship with her best friend? Should she have mentioned something about Jesus or the gospel or the Holy Spirit or something like that in her prayer to make sure it got through to God? Was she even asking for the right reasons? Were her motives really pure? Did that make a difference? From my own point of view, there have been times, lots of times, where I haven't known what to pray. You know, when you're faced with certain circumstances in life and you go, pfft. I remember when our first son was born in difficult circumstances, and they told us that his brain had been damaged in birth, and that would affect the rest of his life. What do you pray then? God, thanks a lot. God, why have you done this? God, where are you? God, please help. I think I ended up praying a whole bunch of jumbled words through tears. Who knows? There's a wonderful passage in Romans chapter 8. I mean, all of Romans 8 is wonderful. If you could wrap up one chapter of the Bible to take on a desert island, it's probably Romans 8 for me. But it talks about how the Spirit of God inside us testifies with our own spirit that we are children of God because of what Jesus has done. So it's not just a head knowledge fact. It tells us the Spirit inside of us testifies to us, helps us feel and know that we are children of God. Romans 8 talks about the inheritance we'll have, the future we have with Jesus, how we will rule with him over a new creation where everything is put to right. But Romans 8 talks too about the reality that the world we live in now is not right. And that our experience of the world now can lead us to groaning as we long for it to be different to what we experience. It talks about that sort of situation where we just don't know how to pray or what to pray or even how to put two words together in response to what it is that we're facing. And in the midst of all that, we have this wonderful promise in Romans 8, verse 26 and 27. It says, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. The Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. Now, what does all that mean? Well, there's an author by the name of Tim Chester who's written a book on prayer that I read to help prepare for this series. And he put it so well, I thought I'd just let him tell you what it means. This is what he said. We pray, but we don't know what to ask, or all we can manage is a heavenward groan. But the Spirit takes our intent and translates it to God. Or he takes our mistaken intent and corrects it to God. The result is that the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. The prayers we can't articulate or the requests we get wrong are translated so that they arrive before God as prayer in accordance with his will. So if you don't know what to say or what to ask, it really doesn't matter. Just pray. Let the Spirit sort out the will of God. Isn't that great? It means this is a wonderful promise that God's given us in his word, because God himself helps us to pray to him. God, the Spirit, fully God, dwells within us and helps us to pray to God himself, God the Father. He helps us to feel the reality that we're children of God in Jesus, and he helps to translate our fumbling words or our lack of words or our mixed motives into prayer that's in accordance with God's will. So all of this means that you don't have to fret about what to say or how to say it. Just pray. Just pray. What God wants for you and for me is to experience the joy of an intimate relationship with him through prayer. Tell him everything. Tell him the big things. Tell him the little things. No matter where you are. You know, every day as I drive my boys to school, we turn onto the road that leads down to school and I pray. They know, that's a ritual. And if I forget, they say, Dad, are we going to pray? Oh, yep. Pray for them at school. Always eyes open. Don't be panicking. But you know what? Driving to school is a great trigger to pray for what's going to happen at school for the day. So we just do that then. And when we sit down and we have a hot meal in front of us, we pray and give thanks to the God who's provided it. No, he didn't zap it to make it appear there. He's provided it through means, farmers and supermarkets and people who cook before it to get there. But God's still in the whole thing. And so that's just a great trigger to pray. And sometimes it's pretty rowdy as that prayer gets offered. Doesn't matter. God hears it. Anywhere, everywhere, all the time, about anything. So how do we know our prayers are heard? three reasons. We have a Father who cares for us and delights in us speaking to Him. Delights. We have a Son who is our mediator and makes every prayer acceptable before the Father. He's there in the throne room. And the Holy Spirit is our translator who presents every prayer perfect to the Father. All of God is intimately involved with all of our prayer. Isn't that amazing? So, my friends, my brothers and sisters, pray. Dad is waiting to delight in you speaking to Him. It's like He's leaning forward, just waiting, saying, come on, what do you got? I want to hear it. And so that's what we're going to do right now. Because the goal of this series on prayer is not so that everyone will know more about prayer. The goal is that we pray more. So right now, there's something on your mind. Whether it's something that you're worried about, you're anxious about, or something that you're just feeling pumped about, whatever it is, I want to give you a few minutes now. In the silence of your mind between you and God, the Father is waiting for you to pray with any words you can. If you don't think you can concentrate, write it on your phone or something. But take everything we've just heard and pray. And I'll bring us back together and close in a few moments. Can we do that? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you love us, that you value us, that you treasure us. Father, I pray right now for St. Paul's, that by your Spirit, you'll convict all of us, my brothers and sisters here, me, all the staff, all the other congregations, you'll convict each one of us that we're loved children and that you delight in us speaking to you. Father, my prayer is that you'll help us to be a praying church, that our first response will be to pray wherever we are, on our knees, on a chair, in our bed, walking, wherever. Thank you that you've made the way clear. We don't have to worry about getting it right, both in our actions or our words. You've made the way clear that we can be praying all the time about everything. So help us to be children that love to talk to their dad. Help us to be your kids like that. Because that will delight you, that will help us to experience intimacy, it will change our hearts, it will change our lives, and it will bring you glory. So help us, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.